like to take a look at a specific part of the Seder, and that is Korech. After we've washed our hands, we've eaten our kesem of matzah, we said the bracha of hamotzi al achilas matzah, we said the bracha al achilas maror, we've had the matzah, we've had the maror, and we would think we'd be ready for the meal. Stop. There's one more thing to do, and that's korech. And that's part of the 15 steps of the Seder night. Motzi matzah, maror, korech, and then shulchan orech. What is korech? So korech is, you take a kezayit of the third matzah, and a kezayit of the maror, which is dipped in charoset, and you make a sandwich. And you say the following, in remembrance of the temple according to Hillel, Zecher l'Mikdash k'Hillel, Kenasa Hillel, thus did Hillel do at the time of the temple. He would combine the Passover lamb, matzah, and maror together, as it is said, they shall eat it with matzah and bitter herbs, al matzah marim yochluhu, some people leave out Pesach, hayakorech matzah maror v'olcha b'yachet, because we don't have the korban today. And we eat it, behesepa, we eat it leaning, and the question is, what is going on? What should our mindset be? We remember what Hillel did. This is something that's taking up center stage. It's one of the 15 simanim. What do we learn from Korech? What's the deeper part? So let's try to understand first and foremost a little bit the technical source of where Korach comes from, and that will be based on the Gemara and Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of that, so it's a little bit more technical, halachic sources 2 through 4. Then I'd like to raise quite a number of questions, and then we'll take a look at two approaches, clearly with the mindset of what should we be thinking about when we eat Korach, what's the avoda, what's the growth that we can have through this experience on Seder night. So let's take a look at the background. Where does Korach come from? So the Talmud in Psachim 115a presents a dispute between Hillel and the rabbis as to the proper method for eating the matzah maror at the Seder. Right? The Pasuk says, Al matzos umarim yochluhu. They shall eat it with matzah and bitter herbs, referring to the Korban Pesach. Well, how exactly do you eat it? So Hillel requires korech, and it's a view that in the time of the temple, the matzah and maror were required to be wrapped and eaten together. So one opinion is Hillel. Hillel says you don't eat these separately. The only way to eat matzah and maror is to eat it as a sandwich, right? Korban Pesach sandwich with matzah and maror. However, the rabbis, the rabbanon, have a different opinion. And there are two opinions as to the position of the rabbis. Either that the matzah maror must be eaten separately, or that they may be eaten either separately or together. So the rabbis have two opinions. One, what rabbis can be understood in two ways. One is, eat it separately. And the second is, you have a choice. You want to eat it separately, eat it separately. You want to eat it together, eat it together. The Gemara concludes that nowadays, since it has not been established whether halacha follows Hillel or the rabbis, one should first eat the matzah separately with a bracha, then eat the maror separately with the bracha, right? Fulfilling the opinion of the rabbis that it should be done separately. Then one should wrap them and eat them together without a bracha as remembrance to the temple according to Hillel. So that's the basic understanding of Korach. You follow all opinions. You eat it separately, that's according to the rabbis. You eat it all together, that's according to Hillel. And we're happy. Now let's take this a little bit further. There's a difference of opinion between Tosfos and the Rambam as how is Korach to be understood now that the temple does not exist. I understand when the Beit HaMikdash was around, there's the idea of eating it with the Korban Pesach. But we don't have a Beit HaMikdash today. How do we understand what is Korach doing here? What is it accomplishing? According to Tosfos, since there's a doubt whether the halacha follows the rabbi or Hillel, we follow both opinions, eating the matzah maror separately, and then eating together as Hillel posits. According to Hillel, the Gemara cites Zecher L'Mikdash as Hillel's sandwich, consisting of matzah maror and Pesach. Nowadays, we do not have a Korban Pesach. The matzah and Korach serves the dual role as the matzah itself, and also to remind us of the Korban Pesach, because Korach is eaten as a result of doubt whether halacha follows Hillel or the rabbis, there's no bracha recited. So according to the Tosfos understanding, why do we have Korech today? We have Korech today because it may be that this is the correct way of doing it. So since it's the correct way of doing it, we sandwich them together. I don't have Korban Pesach. Okay. So the matzah, just like the matzah for Afrikomen takes the place of Korban Pesach, the matzah here will take the place of Korban Pesach, and you eat it all together. Unlike Tosfos, in Source 3, the Rambam is the view that the directive Korech Zecher L'Migdash is not related to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah, and is not an expression of Hillel's position as to the manner in which the mitzvah of matzah is to be fulfilled. The Rambam states that in the time of the temple, one was permitted to eat of the matzah and mother either together or separately. From the statement, it's apparent that the Rambam accepted the position of the rabbis, that once you've eaten matzah and maror, you have fulfilled, independently, you have fulfilled your mitzvah of matzah and maror. Finish. Right? According to Tosfos, maybe the halacha is you have to eat it together. So to cover all grounds, we eat it separately and together. According to the Rambam, once you've eaten matzah and maror separately, you fulfilled your obligation. So if there's no doubt that you fulfilled your obligation, then why do I make a sandwich? So he continues in the bracket, and three, according to the Rambam, Korech is a new rabbinic directive that was established as a remembrance of the Korban Pesach, and is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Matzah Maror. Consistent with this view, the Rambam refers to Korech as a remembrance to the temple, but not as a fulfillment of the position of Hillel. Now this is very fascinating. According to the Rambam, why do we have Korech? We have Korech to remember what happened in the Beis Hamikdash. This is just pure remembrance. It has nothing to do with fulfilling your obligation of Matzah and Maror. Notes the Rav in 4a and 4b, what is the nafka mina, the practical difference between the two, is very simply. According to Tosfos, that this may be your fulfillment of the mitzvah, that really you have to eat matzah and maror together, then there can be no break, there can be no hefsek. You can't have any extraneous conversations, v'chule, between the bracha on the matzah till the end of Korech, because the bracha of matzah has to go not only on the matzah, but also has to go on the sandwich, because maybe that's how you're fulfilled in your obligation. According to the Rambam, you fulfilled your obligation after you've had your matzah and maror, and the sandwich is just zecher l'mikdash. It's a remembrance of what was done in the Beis Hamikdash, but it's a separate enactment. It has nothing to do with matzah and maror, which would then come to the question, and again, there's a lot of halachic ink spilled on all of these ideas, which obviously is not our focus, so hence I am not bringing it. But the question becomes is, should one say this paragraph, Zecher L'Migdash Kehillel, before eating the sandwich or after eating the sandwich? And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal's Haggadah, it says to say it afterwards. Because if you hold like Tosfos, that it is indeed, perhaps, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, then you shouldn't be saying anything, right? Aside from a bracha, you shouldn't be saying anything until after you've finished it. So after you finish the sandwich, then you say Zecher L'Migdash Kehillel. If you hold like the Rambam, that you've already fulfilled your obligation, then there's no problem of saying Zecher L'Migdash Kehillel, because it's not a break, it's not interrupting anything. This is a separate enactment, and obviously everyone should do according to their own minhag. However, it gives us the mindset that there's something going on in Korech. Is it part of the mitzvah of matzah and maror? Or is it something completely different that has to do somehow with remembering the Beis Hamikdash? And obviously we have to understand what this is all about. So that's idea number one. The second question that comes up as a result of this, which we just take a peek in source number 8, is the Mordechai. If you're telling me that this is for to put the Korban Pesach with the matzah and maror, the afikomen, which is a remembrance of the Korban Pesach we eat at the end of right before benching, safun barach, so therefore the sandwich should be then. If you're telling me it's L'zecher to what Hillel did, so maybe that's when the sandwich should be happening. Because that's when they had the sandwich. You say that no, perhaps this is the continuation of the matzah and maror mitzvah, so therefore it has to be found right here. And indeed, in source number 9, the Ran brings down that Hillel Taka would eat like matzah shira for the first matzah, not be Yosef's chiyuv, and only by the Korban Pesach eat the matzah and maror, because he believed that's when the mitzvah has to be fulfilled. So again, the question is, why now and not later in the Suda? Where does Hillel get this idea of wrapping it together? So source number 5 tells us it's based on the pasuk, roasted over the fire of matzos with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. There exists a dispute among the rabbis of the Mishnah how to understand the word yochluhu, they shall eat it. Hillel understands the word applies to the collection of these three foods, that they should be eaten as one. The sages, however, understood the reference that each and every one of these foods is to be eaten separately. And that's where it comes from. Yochluhu, it should all be eaten. Does that mean each one has to be eaten, or each of them eaten altogether? It is understood, however, that maror can only be eaten together with the matzah when they're on both mitzvot on a Torah level, as in the case during the temple times. Without the temple, the mitzvah maror is a rabbinical obligation and therefore should not be eaten together with the matzah, which is a Torah obligation of all times. So why do we not just have a sandwich and Shalom Yisrael, and that way we'll finish everyone's problems, right? Even the rabbi said perhaps the sandwich is the correct way, and the answer is very simple. Today we can't only have a sandwich because maror today is from the rabbis. And if I have a sandwich of the matzah and the maror is going to overtake the taste of the matzah. The matzah is from the Torah, and it's not going to be able to fulfill that dictate of eating the matzah to the fullest degree. So therefore, we have the sandwich, but know that the full focus has to be eating matzah separately, maror separately, and know that today maror is only midrabbanan, it's only from the rabbis, and we have to understand why is maror only from the rabbis, why is maror only when you have Pesach and matzah, while matzah stands on its own. And finally, and this will be our last, we'll end with this answer, our last idea, is that it's fascinating, this is source number 6, that the pasuk that Hillel uses to teach us the obligation of having matzah and maror together is a pasuk from Pesach Sheni, right? If you miss the first Pesach, you can have a second Pesach. Why does Hillel go to Pesach Sheni to give us this and not take a pasuk directly from Parshat Bo? It would seem to make a lot more sense, and we have to understand what this is about. Now that we've moved away from all these technical questions, let's begin some philosophical questions. And that's clearly in source number 7. V'yesh lishponei. This is our overarching question. So if we didn't follow till now, work with me now. V'yesh lishponei b'shitat shel Hillel. Let's understand what Hillel is really saying, philosophically. How is it possible to put together in one sandwich matzah, maror, and korban Pesach? Why? Matzah and Pesach represent freedom. Represents zecher l'geula, remembering how we left Egypt. Pesach, al shum shepasach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, abatei avoseinu b'mitzrayim. We left Egypt in the high hand. Our bread didn't have time to rise. It's a wonderful thing. What does maror represent? Maror represents my veruach chayehem. They made their lives bitter. How do you put that together in a sandwich? These are two opposites. Matzah is freedom. Maror is bitterness. You're going to link the two together? It makes no sense. And that's our question. What is Hillel really saying? I understand yochluhu means you put them together, and I understand you make a sandwich, and I understand it comes from the pasuk, and I also understand that Hillel, something much deeper, he's trying to tell us, that even the rabbis were saying there's something about eating it together. There is that option that exists. It's not one or the other. You could eat it together. What is it really going on here, and what should we be thinking about? And here, my friends, I'd like to focus in on two levels. And clearly, what we have to keep in the back of our minds, particularly on the second level, is the language of Korach. Right? It repeats it. Zecher lo migdash kehilo. Remembering the Beitza Migdash like Hilo. Kena sahilo bezvan shebeitza migdash veyakaya. Why has Hilo become such a major part? Why are we so focused on the Beitza Migdash? Yeah, but there's something going on here that's far deeper. My friends, let's open ourselves up to two levels, two understandings, two insights into Lel HaSeder. The first idea, Matnat Chaim, Ramat Suchel, Solomon. We've touched on this essay in the past. It's probably one of the most fundamental essays, Mamarim on Pesach, where he says, you take a look at the night of Seder, it's a night of contradiction. Almost every step of the way has two opposite parts that are linked together. Let's take some look. Let's start with Karpas, the beginning of the Seder. She'ikr inyan tibul ha-karpas, or said hu kedei, that makes the children ask, good, why did they choose it in this way? So, to dip something is a sign of chayrus. Rich people have hors d'oeuvres before, they dip things in, and that's a sign of, you know, of greatness. Okay, so then why don't we dip, you know, some fancy hors d'oeuvres that you have at a smorgasbord? Why am I dipping my potato or my celery? It's not one of the most appetizing. Why am I dipping it in salt water? Even though that aspect is an aspect of freedom, it reminds me at the same time of the enslavement. We know the famous idea that it's brought down in Mishnah Berurah, Karpas is Samech Perech, moving the words around, that 600,000 were involved in difficult work. And we put it in Mei Melach, which is salt, which is the salty tears of the Jewish people. So the very moment I'm dipping, which is a sign of freedom and a sign of redemption, I'm using the very things that have the aspect of Shibut, of enslavement. Second example. We spoke about wine last week. The wine we know is Zecher L'Cheiros. We spoke about this at length last week. Red wine. So on the one hand, wine is a sign of freedom. On the other hand, it's red wine. Why red wine? To remind ourselves, Zecher L'Adam Shaya Paro Shochei B'nei Israel, the Paro would shech the Jews and take the baby's blood and, you know, bathe himself in it. Well, hold on a second. Wine, a symbol of royalty, a symbol of four cups, which is a sign of freedom, and red wine, dafka, which is a sign of the pain and of the little babies that die. Same thing, two opposite views. Matzah. Matzah, on the one hand, is a zecher for what? For freedom. Our bread didn't have time to rise. On the other hand, we know that this was the bread, halachmanya diachlov, it's not a marriage, it's right. This was the bread of affliction that they used to eat in Egypt. It reminds us of the very food that they ate. Matzah, halachmanya, matzah, bread of freedom. The night is a night that is filled with contradictions. Where you see this so poignantly, and this is brought from Rav Simcha Zissel Mikel, in Source 12a, when Klal Yisrael had the experience of Amad Har Sinai and the Zakenim went up to the mountain, they had some type of vision. Obviously, we can't explain it. We're just reading the Pasuk, where they beheld some vision of the Kisei HaKavod. V'techa raglav kema'asei livnat ha-sapir, and under the Kisei HaKavod was a sapphire brick. Uke'etzem ha-shamayim la-tohar. And Rashi explains there, next page, Kemasei livnat ha-sapir, why by a vision of a brick. This was as a reminder to Hashem, kivyachol, of the pain that Klal Yisrael were in when they were in Shibut, when they were enslaved. Uke'etzem ha-shamayim la-tohar. And now that they have been redeemed, this brick has turned into a shining sapphire, which is the rejoicing of freedom. So, Be'ed Matan Torah Shayaz Van Shal Simcha Chedva Ve'Or Lifnei Hashem, Hera Kurz Brahu Gam Livna Shaitala Fanabashina Shibur, Liskur Saratam Shitrail Shemu Shubadim Kamatsilu Vainim. And you see here that the very brick, which represents the light and energy of redemption, is Dafka brick, which reminds of the time that we were enslaved and we had bricks to build the pyramids. So how do we understand this, my friends? So Rav Simcha Zitzel explains, here's Yesod 12b, Be'er Nifla V'zeh Lashono, Yadua Mamara Chacham, Hatzar Va'oneg Meshulavim Zeh B'zeh. The pain and the rejoicing are interconnected. Peirush, Acharei Hatzar Kishyavo Ha'oneg, after the pain, when the pleasure comes, Ha'oneg Rava Tzumot, it's a greater pleasure to have pleasure after one has experienced pain than if it just was pleasure in its own right. V'hinei kishiru be'etzem ha'shamayim l'torah v'yar kvar kishinigalu v'lamar u'az livnata sapir. This is why Hashem has this brick, because the radiance of the brick is really in accordance to the pain that was experienced beforehand. Obviously, this is imagery for us, not for Kivyachol, for Hashem. La'bil Kivyachol Simcha Zeh Keneged Zeh. It's in order to be able to bring out the joy one to the other. Harei Mevuar, in the arrow, Dizchira Satzar Sha'avar B'shada Simcha Shal Yeshua. When you remember the pain at the moment of rejoicing, he ofen shall hagdalat simchat Yeshua. You can't compare the joy at that time. De erech hasimcha itzal adam hu kefi atzar shayalo kodem la. We know this to be true. If a person gets engaged right after seminary, she comes back, 19 years old, first boy she goes out with, she gets engaged to, it's a great simcha, no doubt. Take that same girl who starts going out after seminary and then gets married at 26, 28, OMG, 35, to the amount of, someone once told me she went out with over 200 boys. I don't know why you count that many boys, but okay, that's relevant. The simcha of boy number 205 that you actually marry, OMG, it's an incredible simcha. When you go through something difficult, when you wait so many years for a child, and then after 10 years you have a child, you can't compare the joy of the birth of that child to a child who's born after 9 months, after marriage. This is the idea here. So he says, now we understand, ubazeh yuvnu kol nagat lolo seder. Of course, the night is a night of simcha. It's a night of simcha that we've been redeemed. But you know what will make the simcha even greater? That I go through matchilim v'kayim b'shevach, when I go through all the pain we've been through, when I remind myself, hey, remember this and remember that, when you go through all 200 boys, and then, oh wow, when we go through the shibut, when each of these symbols, the karpas, the wine, the matzah, when these symbols remind us of both the pain, then the hallel, then the rejoicing is of that much of a greater pitch. We remember the past in order to have the simcha, the rejoicing over the hallel, to a much greater pitch. How we went from darkness to light, and we give gratitude to Hashem on a much greater level. You can't compare just coming into the night, thank you Hashem for redeeming me, to really going through and trying to imagine, and very much the night of Seder, the Bali Musar say, is to try to go back there, to try to imagine where we were, how we felt, and then in comparison, hold on Hashem, halu avde Hashem, the halal is of a different level. With this in mind, my friends, we can appreciate the korech. The korech is another symbol of matzah and maror together. It's that dichotomy that we join together. We have the matzah and maror in the same sandwich. That's like the ultimate, the pain and the redemption we're celebrating together. And we celebrate it together right before the meal, and not suffering. We ask, why not eat it as afikomen if it's second grum of basic? Because this enables us to then enter into our meal with a higher and different mindset. Rabbi Bernstein brings down, there's no better way of expressing, 14, the unique nature of the festive meal Seder night than to remind ourselves that we're actually in the middle of Hallel. We recited the first two paragraphs before the meal, and we'll recite the rest afterwards. In any other situation, we'll recite Hallel. We do not interrupt in the middle of anything, much less a full meal. This highlights the fact that the celebratory meal itself is an expression of our gratitude and praise toward Hashem for delivering us from Egypt and taking us to be His people. Hence, it's not considered to be an interruption between the two halves of Hallel. Rather, it's part of it. Understanding this part of the Seder in this way will certainly add an entirely new dimension to a very special meal and hopefully generate an atmosphere that reflects its unique nature. So I have matzah and I have maror, but I want us to remember that the night is the night of Hallel. And in order to really emphasize this aspect of Hallel, I need to understand, let me put the pain together with the redemption in the same sandwich. And then the meal, it's a meal where the mindset is, Hodu Hashem, Hallel to Hashem. It just gives the meal a higher level. And that's why if I would eat it at the end of the meal, as part of Suffolk, the meal is over. So it wouldn't have accomplished what it could potentially accomplish, eating it right before the last thing before I sit down to the meal. The Nomavinsker, Haggadah Nomavinsker, Rabbi Tzatzel, from the fact 15 that the Siman is included in the Simanei Lela Seder of Shulchan Aruch, we can learn that the meal on this night takes on a deeper significance than a regular Sudas Yantav. In the most basic sense, it implies that the food eaten is part of the Seder, and as such, one who eats this meal in a reclining position is praiseworthy, there the Rabbi writes. Taking a step further, there's a more profound message we can learn here. A significant portion of the Seder revolves around the table. Many even refer to it as a Seder table. At the beginning of Magid, we mentioned a Chazal Lord for the words above words that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim applies to matzah maror lie before you. Mechilta, that pasuk adds even one more detail. B'shah sheyesh matzo manachim munachim lefanecha al shulchan, on the table. By fulfilling all the mitzvahs this night, we have sanctified the table with Kedusha. Zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. It takes on a whole different realm. It's worthwhile. On this night, we're transformed to a realm of Kedusha similar to that which our forefathers experienced while eating the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. We're sitting and eating before Hashem in the Suda satiated with the Kedusha of all the mitzvahs we have performed. And that, again, is why we eat it now. We have to, like, have that mindset, as if we're sitting by the Korban Pesach. The Korach reminds us, right? Zecher l'mikdash, says the Rambam. Right? What does it mean, Zecher l'mikdash? Right? So, okay. Technical level, this was done based on Mikdash. But according to the Rambam, this is deeper. Know that the very meal you are having now is a meal akin to the meal of, like, the Korban Pesach. It's a meal of Kedusha and Tara. And that's the Zecher l'mikdash. The Zecher l'mikdash of the Korach sandwich gets us into that frame of mind, Zecher l'mikdash, that I'm not just sitting and having a meal tonight. I'm having a meal lifnei Hashem. And that's perhaps what the Rambam is really trying to teach us, how our meal needs to be focused. The Korach leads into the Shulchan Aruch directly, that this is Zecher l'mikdash, this is a holy meal. It is worthwhile to quote the words of the Shloka Kadosh, which should inspire us to eat this meal with a proper conduct. One should envision himself as he were eating a spiritual Suda, similar to that which Yaakov served his father Yitzchak Avinu, and represented the Suda of Livyasa. Keeping this in mind will certainly persuade one to eat with his family and eat as one does before a king with Kedusha and purity. There should be no idle banter, only talk regarding Hashem and the Nisim Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Halavai, if we would only merit to feel this. Now we'll just add parenthetically, and then begin the second level. This is something practically to have in mind. I eat the Korach. I stop and I recognize I'm taking these two very different aspects. The pain and the rejoicing. And when I put them together, the rejoicing becomes even stronger. When I think about all those years waiting for the Shidduch, and now I'm married, the joy is that much greater. Waiting for the child, and now the child. Waiting for the job, and now the job. Putting the two together, it is very powerful to get me to focus on the joy. This meal itself is hallow. We break up hallow because the meal itself is hallow. It's zecher l'mikdash. It's recognizing that we're as if sitting in the base of mikdash, eating the korbanos, eating l'fnei Hashem in front of Hashem, kedusha and tahara. Practically speaking, we have to be careful, as the Shlomo Kadosh says. I mean, everyone on their own level, but try to be, you know, the best defense, the best offense is the good defense, whatever they say, is prepare yourself beforehand. If one, this is just parenthetical, I hate to be practical, it happens once in a while, so just hold on tight and then I'll be out of the practical. If I highly recommend Rabbi Spiro's first Haggadah Touched by the Seder, I think that's what it's called. He has two. I like the first one better. The second is Rabbi Przanski, Night of Watching. What I like about both of them is they have stories. And while the meal is happening, instead of talking about the latest politics, instead of talking about the latest whatever, tell a story. Prepare a story. And prepare something, a conversation that's going to focus the people on the night, and not say, oh, take off my seatbelt, I can look around the plane a little bit. You know, it's been really intense, this Haggadah business, until we get to the end. Let me just, no. The whole night is a night of Hallel. It's a night of Kedusha. I remember when my mother-in-law, she lived and be well, would buy us for Seder, she would talk about the Holocaust and, you know, Hodayah to Hashem. People who've been through experiences that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has saved them. This is the time of Shevach and Hodayah to Ribbono Shel Olam, even to go around the table and ask people, what are one or two things that we're grateful for over the course of this year? Something major that happened that you're grateful for. Even have them prepare it beforehand. Matova Manoim, that is going to focus the Seder accordingly. Okay, my friend, so that is level number one. What is the deeper understanding of the sandwich? When one feels the pain, one recognizes the pain and relives the pain, the simcha, the joy, is that much greater. The hallel is that much greater. The second idea is really a continuation of last week with the wine. V'ni b'chor Yisrael, Rav Kluger 16a. Let's begin. The idea of tonight is mitzvah Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the retelling of the story of Egypt. Sipur and not Zechira. Tonight is a retelling of the story, not just remembering. Sipur is the idea of collection, like a sefer. What is a sefer? It's a collection of many different ideas, many different pages, formed into one. This is the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, 16b. Shema Debrim Rakali Yitziat Magalos. We don't only talk about leaving. Ella, rather, Mitchadim L'Saper Mitchilat HaShibut. We begin with talking about the beginning of the slavery. We talk about all the different sorrows that we have, which we see at the beginning of that God, the Matchilim Biknuot, Vayarei Osana Mitzrim Vayanunu Vaytnu Aleim Avodah Kasha, and how it all began. And then, Vayidei Sipur Si Hatzaros V'Koshi HaShibut, when after I've gone through all the challenges and different aspects of the Shibur, Olam Yitbaher Shekola Yusurim, then it becomes clear that all the challenges, Lo Hayu Larik, Chas V'Shalom, they weren't all for naught, that God is just afflicting us for no reason, but rather it was the Kur HaBarzel, it was that fermentation process we spoke about last week of the wine, in order to be able to have us come out as an elevated people. The challenges, the maror itself, it's part of the matzah. They're interconnected together. It's not just that I was afflicted, and it's not just that I was redeemed. The two work hand in hand together. And indeed, the Sfasemes points this out in Source 17. Shekol ha-golus hayal pi ha-seder. We call it Seder night, because the entire golus, exile, experience had a seder, had an order to it. And it was all for our good. That's why we talk about the pain that we're in. We eat the matzah as well as the marah. We're not only thanking Hashem for the redemption, we're also thanking Hashem for the challenges that we had getting there. We have tonight both the matzah and the maror. We have the both that we thank Hashem for. And really, we have to understand that it's not just maror by itself and matzah by itself, but we have to understand that they're interconnected. And hence Hillel said, we eat them together. That we have to understand in life that whatever negative experience we go through is part of the Hashkacha of Hashem, the Divine Providence, in order to get us to a level of His vision, of what we can achieve, or what the nation can achieve. It's Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker. Yom Echad. There's an Erev and there's a Boker. There's darkness and there's light, but it's connected. It's Yom Echad. It's not Erev by itself and it's not Boker by itself. We have to understand that life in Judaism, and that's our whole mindset, which is the night of Seder, is it's one. And one feeds the other, and one enables us to appreciate the other, and one enables us to get to the other. Without Maror, we can never get to the state of Pesach and Matzah. Let's try to understand this a little bit deeper, both on the national level and then on the individual level. Rav Shor in Halakach V'Libuv Haggadah points out a fascinating idea. And he says, again quoting the Sasemis, Shamaror in 18 Hayad L'Tovatenu, the Maror was for our good. Why? In what way was the affliction positive for us? So he says, based on the Zohar Kadosh, Ki inyan hakoshi v'ha'inu b'mitzrayim haya kedei lishmor b'nei Yisrael shaloit ma'u ben ha'umos. The slavery was in order to protect Klal Yisrael from being totally lost in the melting pot of Egypt. Ha'inu igaram shebnei Yisrael yu nifradi ma'umos. It caused us to be separate from the nation, and that we would be able to have our distinction. This is, he says in the asterisk, a deeper understanding of one of the psukim we bring in the Seul Amad section. Vayhi sham legoy milamei chayu sham tsuyonim sham. And literally, and we became there a nation. We learned from here that we were a distinguished nation. Vayihi, we know, is a Lashon Tzara. Vayihi is a language of woe. Hainu shat tzaros garmu. Vayihi sham, the tzaros, vayihi. The language, vayihi, is a language of woe. The challenges themselves made us to a goy, into a nation. And they made us into a nation that was being tzuyonim sham, that was going to be distinguished. It was the challenges that we went through that made us unique, that we were different in our dress, in our speech, etc. And he explains, we'll do this outside 19 and 20, he explains this is the different languages that were given to Avraham Avinu in the Bris Ben Bsarim. Right, the Bris Ben Bsarim, in the covenant between the pieces, it says, Ki geri ezarachah b'ertzolahem, you will be a stranger in a land not yours, va'avadum, and you will serve there, v'inuotam, and you will be afflicted there. So he explains that it was a step-by-step process. If you feel like you're a ger, if you feel like you are a stranger in the land, and that you know that you're different and you're unique, then that will be it. You don't need to go further. The moment that you no longer feel like you're a stranger, but like you're part of them, then there has to be a wake-up call, vavadum. Then you're going to have servitude, and you have to realize that you're different. You're going to be put into the ghettos. You're going to be given certain laws that are enactment against the Jews to remind you that, no, you're not, like everyone else. You're unique. get used to this, and you not still feel like, let me become part of them. So then they know what to. Then we have Lo'aleinu, the persecutions that remind us that if your great-grandmother was Jewish, you're Jewish. And we see this throughout history. We see this in Egypt. We see this in Spain. We see this, we saw this in Germany. The Merivus, the Inuotam, is a gift. It's a gift that we remain Jews. And he's saying here something very intense. We could really get out of this gift of needing to be reminded if we can recognize that we're unique, we're different, we're only sojourning in this land, it's not ours, we're different than everyone else, so then you don't need a wake-up call. The moment that you try to fit in and to become part of, and you lose that sense of distinction, then there has to be a knock on the door. The Maror isn't here as a punishment. It's here to ensure Vayush Sham L'Goy Gadol Mitzuyanim Sham. You have to recognize the pride that we are different. And until we have the Geula and we live in different countries, we have to know that we are different, that we are strangers. You know, the question of you're American Jew or Jewish American, this has to be very much the forefront of our minds, our uniqueness, our separateness, our specialness, so that we don't need to have Lo'aleinu, these experiences of Pittsburgh and all of these anti-Semitic acts to remind us of this. I will just make mention, and again this is parenthetical, in 22 and 23, before moving back to this idea of the Korach sandwich. Well, let's just finish this, and then I'll get into the parentheses. So he says, "Vine." Let's just finish this piece on slide 21. "Vine be'etchanim seim b'toch omek ha'galut kashem ola v'nekudasu ekol amarur v'shiburi l'tovateinu." When we're in galus, it's very hard to see how this is for our good because we're enmeshed in it. "Ki ha'galus eino meniach adam l'rod ekol shiburi l'tova." We can't possibly see how this is good. "Aval achar ha'matzah." That's how we have Pesach matzah amarur. Right, maror is last, even though maror, the bitterman happened first. Why don't we eat the maror first and the matzah? Why is Rabbi Gamliel say Pesach matzah maror? Should we eat maror Pesach matzah? But rather, we can't appreciate the maror until after the redemption. "As yachol adam l'ro ki b'lo maror lo yinu yicholim l'gil matzah." Then we recognize that without the maror, we could never have gotten to the matzah, the redemption. "Ki kol gula yarach chamach nisharu v'dalim min ha'umos." We only were able to, remained separate. And that sometimes means challenges and suffering. After the matzah, we praise the marah. And that's the deeper idea of hillel, of putting back to our karasim and the matzah marah together to show us, as we've mentioned, that they're really interconnected together. Again, parenthetically, we'll do it outside 22 and 23. The Chidushei Arim points out that as long as we live in a galus, and we're comfortable in galus, right? The idea we spoke about a few weeks ago of Sivlos Mitzrayim, that we're able to tolerate Egypt. So I'm in galus, it's not so bad, they're nice to us, they treat us well, v'kule, then I'm really in trouble. Because I have to first and foremost recognize that I'm in galus, and that this is not the optimum. And he says in 23, we have to realize that we're still enslaved. Today we're enslaved to Olam Hazeh, whether it's technology, whether it's to money. And unless I realize that I'm enslaved, unless I realize that I'm still in galus, there's no way I'm going to get out. And the night of Seder is to be able to have a desire and ask myself, to what am I really enslaved in? Where do I live? What's this... you know, am I living a life of recognition that my Yiddishkeit is primary and number one at whatever cost, or do I need to be reminded of this in different challenges? Okay. So, my friends, let's take this a little bit deeper. Level number one is, when you look at the pain, you can appreciate the freedom. The Suda itself is hollow. Level number two is that the matzah and maror are interconnected, because you can't get to freedom without the challenges. The challenges, the difficulties, is what enables us to appreciate the freedom and to be able to move us. That's what challenges do in general. They move us to a different direction. When the Jews in Egypt had to be forced to remind themselves that they're Jews and work on who they are, what they stand for, that was the Kor HaBarzel. That was the fiery furnace enabling them to ultimately get the Torah. And that's why Maror and Matzah are combined together, not just eat it one after the other. They're combined together to teach us, and this is the second level encapsulated, that the challenges that we go through in life are part of our process to become free. What does free mean? To become the type of person that a Kadosh Baruch Hu envisions. Very much like the mashal of Kinei Kachomer B'yad HaYotzer, were like the clay in the hand of the potter. You beat up that clay. You put it into a kiln. You put it into a furnace. You paint it with these fumes that can make you pass out in order to make it into the piece of pottery that you had envisioned. And we go through, as individuals, tremendous challenges, and that's what forms us into us. It's the two that go hand in hand together, and that's Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, Yom Echad. Rav Wolba, for Or Lashav, brings this so beautiful. He says, the world, 24, is a beautiful place. It's a place of pleasure, a place of happiness. But the same world is a world of challenges, a world of tragedy. Is this by chance? No. Why do we have Sefer? And he says the answer is, Rak Maktara Chat Lolam LaAdam Shlemus. What Hashem wants for us is to become the best we can be. Why he wired us in this way, that's already a deeper philosophic question I can't possibly answer. We are not created whole. We have to work on ourselves. Gam Ashkacha Pratit Mechuvenet LaShlamat Adam. All of our life circumstances are here to help us become the best person we can become. And Hashem leads us into two very distinct ways throughout our lives. Chesed and Mishpat. Kindness and judgment. David HaMelech says, L'David Mizmor, Chesed u'mishpat ashira lecha Hashem azamera. Both the chesed and the mishpat, I will sing to you, Hashem. Both the kindness and the judgment. And Amar Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha, im b'chesed ashira, im b'mishpat ashira. Whether it's with kindness or with judgment, both I will sing to you. Lecha Hashem azamera. To you, Hashem, I will sing. And this is David HaMelech. Challenge and difficulty I find myself, ubashem Hashem akra, and I call out to Hashem. Kos Yeshua sasa, ubashem Hashem akra, I lift up the cup of salvation and I call on the name of Hashem. Ben kach uben kach lecha Hashem akra. Both situations, I call out to Hashem. I will make mention that the Sforim point out, this is very powerful, that the pasuk Kos Yeshua Tasa B'Shem Hashem Akra, when everything's wonderful, that's one pasuk. Kos Yeshua Tasa, I lift up the cup of salvation, I call the name of Hashem. The idea of Sarah V'Agonimsa, when I'm in challenge and difficulty, and then U'B'Shem Hashem Akra, and I also call out Hashem, U'B'Shem Hashem Akra is the next pasuk. Even David HaMelech has a break between the two. It's not easy to call out to Hashem when the challenges happen. You know, we've seen in a modern-day example of Rebbetzin Devorah Peleh, who was like a walking example of this, of Chesed U'Mishpat Ashira, that we can't even begin to fathom this, of Sarah V'Yagonim Sa'at, U'B'Shem Hashem Ekra. And he said something very powerful. He says, when Midas Hadin comes to us, we ask, why? What's going on here? Why are you doing this to me? But he says, "Ma'min amiti shoel bitzkal l'mirat ha'chesed lama ki yodei ashein magi alone." But a real ma'min, when good things happen, also asks, "Why? I don't deserve this." And we recognize that everything comes from Hashem, because He knows exactly what's best for us, when it's best for us. And that's the idea that we have to understand, that kol ma'ashabah alav min ha'shamayim in the Dad in 25, all that happens to me in life, L'tova topa, is coming for my good. And Hashem is with us, and that's bitachon. Gam ki lepe geitza mavet lo yara ki atayim adi, shiftecha u'mishantecha. The shiftecha, the shevet, is a staff of rebuke. Mishantecha is a staff that we lean on. The chesed u'mishpat, both of them, we find the Ribono Shel Olam. And this, my friends, the Otzer HaTorah Rav Cohen in 26 points up. V'nei yadua de Pesach morea l'gula v'tova, that we know that Pesach represents and matzah the redemption. Ilu moru morela rava meriru shelu v'tenu represents the challenges. But we also understand that both of them are coming from the Ribono Shel Olam, and both of them have purpose and meaning in life. 27. L'kach haya hilo korech Pesach matzah roru b'yachad ki akol heima l'tova. So this is now taking this one step deeper. Not only does Maror lead us to matzah, not only is Maror the conduit in order for me to be able to be redeemed, but just like matzah is for my good, Maror is also for my good. It's not just that I eat matzah and then I eat Maror and I look back and I say, ah, it was good. I see now I have perspective. No. To be able to eat both of them together is the highest level. It's the level of the night of Seder. It's the level of realizing that it's all good. Ve'ein chiluk b'neihem. There's no difference between them. The avur hamatzos v'amarorim zachu lechol pesach v'igiu l'madregas zu. Ve'luzei ze lo hayu zochim lechol ze. And this is the idea of Le'e Menu, of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the fourth child. I realized that all the challenges I've had till now is all good. It's all bringing me to what I need to be in my life. With this appreciation that Matzah and Maror are about seeing the goodness in life, we can now appreciate why we're focused so much on Hillel. Zecher l'Migdash k'Hillel, k'Nasa Hillel. What was so great about Hillel? So the Gemara teaches us the following. Gemara in Brachos. The Hillel once was returning from a journey and he heard cries coming from his city. I'm certain he said that the screaming is not coming from my house. The Gemara applies the Pasuk to Hillel. Evil tidings, he feared not, his heart is firm, confident in Hashem. So the classical understanding is he was sure that no bad would happen to his family. No. Says the Bechia, no. That's not what it means. It means rather that we realize that Hashem knows what's good for us. And that what the Bechia explains is the Gemara does not say that Hillel was certain that nothing had happened to the members of his household, but that the cries could not be coming from there. Why? Because he had taught them that no matter what happens in life, there's no reason to cry, because we're certain that our loving Father is doing this for our good. His heart is firm, confident in Hashem. A person who's confident in Hashem does not fear evil tidings, because he recognizes whatever happens to him in this world is for his best. It is not evil. This, my friends, is the deeper understanding of Hillel. And this is what we talk about. This is the Zecher L'Migdash k'Hillel. We're reminding ourselves of who Hillel was. Hillel was somebody who had such a level of bitachon that realized chesed u'mishpat ashira. Whatever happens is coming from Hashem. The cries aren't coming from my house, because there would be no crying coming from my house, because my family understands that both the matzah and maror are eaten together. And this, my friends, in 32, Hillel's attitude to life was that no matter whether our experience is something that seems too good to us, represented by the Pesach and matzah, or bitter to us, represented by the maror, we recognize that both are part of Hashem's master plan for this world and are ultimately for the best. This is not an easy level to reach, but it's not beyond our grasp. He brings here that a survivor of the concentration camps said that when the Yidden would go to the gas chambers, knowing fully well what was going on, they would sing in Yiddish. I'm going to do the English because my Yiddish is garnished. God in His judgment is correct. No one can say that God is bad. God knows what He's doing. He does wrong to no one. God, in his judgment, is correct. That's the moment of Korach, the matzah and the maror together. And this is what we have to think about when we eat the matzah and maror sandwich together, that it gives us this sense. Now, my friends, I can appreciate why maror today is midrabanan. 36. Let's take a look. When we talk kach navolu ve'erat tatam shechiyuv maror b'sman hazehu midrabanan, shenei histaklut zu, this ability. Hakoach lerode kol hamaror v'agolos kikli legula, seeing everything as a medium of redemption, seeing the bad itself as coming from a source of good, and it is good. Ulashabeach et Hashem itbarach al kach, and to be able to praise Hashem for this. Zoistaklus shalosidlava. This is really a vision of the future, because we know in the future we'll be able to say, Hatova Metiv, everything's good. The Slach brings down, in retrospect, we'll be able to say the Bracha of Tova Metiv and everything that happened to us in our lives. V'nebis Yistaklo Mirazu 37, Shokulo Atova Metiv, Hiasagashite Alasilovo. Now we don't have this. V'lachei Midar Reisa, therefore from the Torah, when we don't have a Korban Pesach, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, when I don't have that clarity of vision, I can't expect a person from the Torah to come to this level of thanking Hashem. Therefore, Maror is the Rabbanan. It would be like having us say Hatova Meitiv when bad things happen. We're not holding there. And this is what it means. Zecher L'Mikdash Kehillah. We have eating the maror and matzah together, putting them together, that one is good as the other, and that this is all a process for our good. 45. V'yaira tabur chadash anusach shanarim kodem achilos korech. Zecher l'migdash kehillah. Which means zecher. It's a ha'ara, it's a light, it's an energy from the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when we were able to see clearly that everything is for the good. It's a light of the future Beis HaMikdash. When we say that Zecher L'Mikdash Kehillah, what we're really saying is, it's a ha'ara of the time of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Geula Hasita. In the future time, I'll be able to really get to this level of Korach. Now I eat Korach. Now I eat Korach to fulfill the obligation of Matzah Maror. But the Rambam, going back to where we began with, says it's not really about eating the Matzah Maror. It's about a takana of remembering the Beis HaMikdash. Why now at the beginning of the meal? Because after I've gone through a Matzah and a Maror, stop. Don't just see that there's matzah and there's maror. See that the two are interlinked together. And even though we can't really appreciate it, it's a zecher. It's a touch. It's like a movement toward that reality. That's the moment of Korach, where we have to just stop for a moment and say, Halavai. We can have the Beis HaMikdash. Halavai that we can be in this state where I can appreciate that all that I'm going through is for the good. As the Lekach V'Libur brings down in Source 49, that this is a minhag Yisrael to kiss the maror, maror zu shanu ochlim. We can't all year even get to that level. The night of Seder is a night where we're transported as if to the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We're transported to a different vision. It's a vision that whatever challenge we're going through in life, and the challenges are tremendous, both nationally and personally, there's a Seder. There's an order. There's a purpose. And not only is there an order, and not only is there a purpose, and not only does the Vayi'er Vayi Boker, Yom Echad, not only does the darkness lead to the light, and it's a precursor to the light, and it's necessary for the light, but Chesed Mishpat Ashira, the darkness and the light are both good. the night of Pesach, there's no bracha on Korach. We can't say the bracha on Korach. We can't say Atova Meitim. But I can say, either before or after, depending on your minhag, Zecher LeMikdash keHillel. I can tonight touch the level of Hillel. No cries coming from my house. I know that whatever Hashem does is good. I can be able tonight to touch the sense of the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, this is one of the major themes of Lel HaSeder. We've spoken about this in the past. We begin the Seder HaShatza HaChol Shadaba Barat Yisrael. Now we're here, next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. We end the Seder HaShadaba Yerushalayim Abnuya. We'll be in Yerushalayim. We spoke about last year Chad Gadyam, which is very much about building the Beis HaMikdash. Dayenu ends, you know, about the building of the Beis HaBechira. It's one of those themes throughout the Lel HaSeder. And this is what Korach is about. It's not just a yearning to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's for sure. It's a yearning to live the Beis HaMikdash experience where I feel so closely and intimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in my life. And it's that yearning to be at that time where I'm able to say the bracha of Atova Meitim, that I can say bracha on Korach, that I can eat Pesach, Matzah, Maror together. That's what we're yearning for at this night of Seder. And this, my friends, helps us understand that right after Korach, Minhag Yisrael is to have an egg, right? Egg and salt water. To remind us that if we're not going to learn the lesson of improving ourselves and working on ourselves, we're going to have the Churban and we're going to have Tisha B'Av and we're eating an egg a few months from now. But the egg takes on such a deeper significance. I feel that pain of the Churban tonight because I'm living in that world of salt water. I'm living in that world of pain. That's the pain of the egg, where I can't appreciate the goodness. I can't see how the maror and the matzah together is good. And it's as if right now it's avelus on the Churban. Right now I have to sigh that, oi, I'm missing this and I yearn to have this. And hence we understand an idea brought by a lot of the Sfarim, 51, you know, Rabbi Yeshua Bills used to say, why does Hillel bring the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni and not from Pesach Rishon? That these words are not just remembering the way the first Pesach should have been brought, rather also giving expression to our hope and prayer that we may yet this year merit to bring Pesach offering on Pesach Sheni. So when we say, Al Matzos Umorim Yochluhu, I have in mind, it still can happen. The Pesach Sheni can happen, and we can have this ultimate redemption, and that the Pesach sandwich of the Matzah Maror Korban Pesach will indeed happen, not just physically that we'll eat it together, but we'll be able to live a world of clarity that we understand. Chesed u'mishpat, Ashirah.